Our first focus in the sugya of Shemen Zayis, our primary focus in the sugya of Shemen Zayis, had been this machlokas Rishonim that the tour already raises between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. We say Shemen Be'en Azuki Mazik, and there's no Bor Pri Ha'etz. Do you mean there's no brach at all? Do you mean there's no Bor Pri Ha'etz, but there is a Shahakal? So we had seen the Rambam was of the opinion that there is a Shahakal. The vast majority of Rishonim assume Azuki Mazik, there's no bracha whatsoever. That's how he passed. That led us in very fruitful directions in terms of understanding why a Shahakal, which led to an understanding, deeper understanding of the two layers of the Takana of Birkas Hanenin. The truth is, when the Torah presents the sugya, that's not the major machlokas that he presents. The major machlokas he presents about the sukkah is a machlokas that, as you saw, Tosfos Rabbeinu Yehuda Sir Leon already raises a couple of generations before the tour. And it's a machlokas that brings us, as I was mentioning earlier this morning, to put in the footnote of the Maamar Kamos, the four major sugyas, the four major specific sugyas of the first half of Ketz Mevarchin. So this brings us into one of them, which is Ikar and Tefil. So let's take a look. The Gemara had said, Shemen Zayis is a Ha'etz, but when does it happen? If you're drinking it Ben, so again, it's either a Shahakal or nothing, but not a Ha'etz. If you're having it with bread, so then why is it not a Ha'etz? Because it's Tefil to the bread. If you're having it in soup to cream your vegetable broth, if you're having the Shemen Zayis with an Negron, it's typically not a ha'etz because it's tafel to the negro. The negro is either shahak or hadama. So that discussion also, is it a drink? Is it an eat? Is it a soup or is it something you're drinking? Whatever it is, a negro is not ha'etz. And when you're mixing oil into a negro, the ikar is the negro, and therefore the fact that theoretically the bracha on Shemen Zayis is ha'etz remains just that, theoretical. It's not lamaisa. When lamaisa do you make a ha'etz on Shemen Zayis? What was the Gemara's answer? It's not Be'en. It's not Aydei Pas. It's not Aydei Nigron. It is Aydei Nigron, right? A Nigron type 2. It's not Be'en. We're drinking the oil alone. It's not Aydei Pas. It's not Aydei Nigron. Except sometimes. So 3B. Alright? The Gemara had said, well, Tapalam and Vavam and Aleph. Once again, the Gemara says, you're having a day in Nigron, Lam Vavam and Aleph. Have a Nigron, Iker, Shem, and Tafel. That Nigron is this main part is the soup, the broth, the vegetable juice. The oil is just a Tafel, Usnan. Mishnah, where on Daf, Mem? Dalad. Very good. Zach, Klal, Kosh, Iker, Motfela, Mavarcha, Iker, Posa, Tfela. Oh, it's not just regular day nigron. It's a day nigron type 2. A day nigron with a twist. What's the twist? Well, the guy has a sore throat. We have this brisa. Choshesh begrono. Lo ya'arenu b'shem and chila b'shabbos. You have a sore throat on Shabbos, you can't drink or gargle the oil directly because it's Shabbos, and that would be to take the oil directly is a refuah. It's not Michael Briam. Healthy people don't typically drink oil straight. Healthy people don't gargle with oil. You only do that if you have a sore throat. So to do that on Shabbos is a violation. It's a drop on a refuah. What can you do, Michael Briam? Have it the way people usually have it during the week, even if they're healthy. No sin shemen harbe l'soch hanigron. Put a lot of oil into hanigron. Ubo leya. You put a lot of oil in, and then you drink or eat that anigron. Don't gargle it, and that way you will have the therapeutic value of the oil on Shabbos in a way that's Michael Briam, because normal people also have, healthy people sometimes have oil in their anigron to give it a creamier flavor or texture. So that way you get your oil, but it's a Michael Briam. And the Gemara says the Brisa was Toilet Shabbos, but our Gemara is bring it into Hilchos Brachos. Then this way, is when you're having a nigger oil in a nigger in that way, so then the oil is the ikker, and then you make a bar pir eitz on the anigron, not a shahakol or bar pir adama. Question.
Wouldn't this version of anigron be getting maybe close to damaging if it's that much oil?
So number one, apparently, you're right, so apparently it's still diluted enough that's not really going
to... Is it not dilution or just the amount of oil one is consuming?
I would assume it has to do with dilution. I'm not sure. That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. But you're raising another point. You said, well, you put in so much oil, So that raises an interesting question. This type two, a Negron, regular Hashem HaDei Negron, the oil is a tafel, the Negron Zikr. But you do this unique type of a Negron, where really the oil is more emphasized. Since oil is more emphasized, so now, in this case, normally, our Negron is Zikr. But it was type 2, and the Shemin is Iker, and therefore you make a Bar Pir Eitz. Now, what do we mean by type 2? What makes the case where Shemin is Iker different than the typical case? What would you say?
I mean, it's either which purpose of drinking it is, the purpose of the oil,
is
the actual volume.
Oh, Gevaldik, exactly. So that's where the Torah quotes a Machlokas, as you saw, if you have a Tosfos Bein Yehuda, you see, he already quotes this machlokas. We have the Torah in front of you as well. Here, the bottom of the page Reish Tzadivav, the Torah is in the center in the Gemara position. Pirish Harav Rabbeinu Yosef. Rabbeinu Yosef is quoted by the Reiser Leon as well. Pirish Harav Rabbeinu Yosef, Lav Dafka Choshish Begrono. It doesn't really matter whether you have a sore throat. The top line of the Torah said, Shem Azayis and make a bar per eight, Umukumina la bechoshish begrono. The Gemara's Ukimta Torah specifically wins choshish begrono, Shazui refuoso. It's therapeutic. That's what the Gemara had said. Hachla mayaskinan, fourth line, lamavavav, bechoshish begrono. So what does that mean? So I would have said, well, it means what it says, that your throat hurts. Doesn't matter whether it's a Shabbos or a Tuesday. Your throat hurts. That's why you're having a nigron with oil. So normally, the ikur is the nigron, and I'm just adding the oil to enhance the texture, the mouthfeel, whatever, the aroma of the soup. But if I'm having it for therapeutic purposes, I'm doing it with choshish begrono. Rabbeinu Yosef said, no, lav dafka choshish begrono. It doesn't have to be necessary that your throat actually hurts. Urcha de milsa naka. We're just giving you urcha de milsa. Literally, it's Aramaic for derech hadavar, the usual way. Usually, when people have this type of a nigron, their throat hurts. This type of a nigron? V'huadinami in eino choshish begrono. It can be true even if your throat doesn't hurt. The point, says Rav Ben Yosef, is im nosein shemen harbi lasocha nigron mivarechalav. If you put a lot of oil, then you make the bracha on the oil. Sharei nehena mimenu. Then that's your primary hana. So that's the position of Ben Yosef, is that type 2 means shemen harbi. That's the point, is that's a lot of oil. The point is the qualitative, what's actually there, how much oil is it? A little bit of oil? Is it a spoon of oil or a cup of oil? Yeah?
So according to the opinion that you need to have a sore throat, two people could be having the same mixture and making a different breath. Because one person has a sore throat and one person doesn't.
That is absolutely true. Surprising and true. Correct. That's a very good way of putting it. Who says that? That two people could be eating the exact same dish and making different brachas. Am halachas gedolos kasav. Here we're going back to the days of the Gaon and the Bahag. Halachas gedolos, we call him the Bahag, the Baal. Halachas gedolos. Halachas gedolos is a safe one of a series of svarim written by the Gaonim, the Rif, and ultimately the Rambam was following in the tradition of several Gaonim who wrote Kitsuri Halacha of the Gemara. And as the Rif was sort of the last, the Rambam would probably say the greatest of those attempts to take Gemara and abbreviate it lahalacha. But the Gaonim already were doing this several centuries before the Rif. There's halachas psukos, halachas, ketuos, and here the probably the most famous one is halachas gedolos. Halachas gedolos writes, she'en lo levarech ala ikaivin lechinche. You don't make a ha'etz, the Hashem is not the ikar unless you're chinche, I think, or your is your soft palate, some part of your mouth, hurts kaivin lech, kaiv. You're only going to make a ha'etz if there's actual pain. The mechavin lerefuah. Your primary intent is therapeutic, medicinal. You're having real hanah from the oil. The primary hanah, yeah, it also tastes nice. You have that nice vegetable flavor, and it masks, you know, what would otherwise be the unpleasant experience of drinking so much oil. But your primary hanah is the fact that the oil is soothing your mouth, your throat, whatever it is that hurts. Aval, ileka refua. But if there's no medicinal purpose, I feel no sin shaman harbe. Bog says explicitly, even though you put in as much oil, you put in the cup of oil instead of the spoon, havia nigro nicker. He says, you have the Bahag, centuries before the tour in Bavel, and then you have two generations before the tour. The tour's father was the Rush, who in turn was the Talmud Ram of Wittenberg. So he's in Germany in the 1200s, also writes like the Bahag. And you have a major Ashkenazi Rishon, the Ram of Wittenberg, and major Sephardi Rishon, the Rambam, who are both align themselves with the Bahag. And we had seen that Rambam. Shasa osu levado, lo yechoshish b'o, shalo hayechoshish b'grono, mevarach alav shahako. Rambam doesn't say if you didn't put in a lot of oil. It says if you don't have a sore throat. And now the tour goes on to talk about what we had focused on previously, but here's really sort of like a sidebar. By the way, ain't near Masha Kasav. I don't like what the Rambam wrote, that you drink it alone, you make a shakal. No, the Torah says, I agree with the Rov Rishon, drink it alone is no bracha. Then it comes back to say, but in terms of this larger issue, a machlokas Rabbeinu Yosef versus Bahag, Mar Rutberg, and Rambam, whether it's the point of you make a ha'etz when it's Shem and Harbe, or you make a ha'etz where it's Choshesh Begrono. The Gemara had said Choshesh Begrono, but then the Gemara quoted Braisa that mentioned, nope, when you're Choshesh Begrono, you know it's in Shem and Harbe. So now we're trying to figure out which one is the point. Was it a question of quantity, or was it a question of purpose? Is it a question of the thing itself, or it's a din v'cheftze, din v'gavre? The question of what the recipe is there a lot of oil, a little bit of oil? Or as Eitan pointed out, it's an identical recipe, but different people have different purposes in mind. So Rabbeinu Yosef had said it's a question of purpose. Rabbeinu Yosef had said it's a question just of quantity. Most Rishonim, Bahag, Agon, and Mar Rutenberg and the Rambam, they said, no, it's a question of purpose. And the Tur says, Yosef Nira, Sevar Rishona. I hold like the first Shita. Ben Yosef, Livarech, to make a bracha means to make a ha'etz. Avke she'eno choshesh, even my throat doesn't hurt. The kevon du nana lama lo yivarech.
So let's
be clear. The Gemara says that usually having Shemen Zayzai Dei Nigron, that you don't make a ha'etz because a Nigron is ikker. But there is one case where it is an ikker. And what we have is two opinions in the Rishonim, what makes this case special? What's making the oil the ikker? Is it the quantity of oil that's making the ikker? That's the position of Ben Yosef, and the Tur embraces it, versus most other poskim, the Bahag during the period of the Gaonim, and Mar Rutenberg among the Ashkenaz Rishonim, the Rambam among the Sfarad Rishonim, and by the way, the Shulchan Aruch, fast forward a couple of centuries, they say, no, it all has to do with the purpose. The fact that you put a lot of oil doesn't matter. If your throat hurts, if your throat actually hurts, then you're taking this concoction in order to soothe your throat. Rabbi Yosef says it's quantity. If I misspoke before, I apologize. So here you have sheet number one, and sheet number two. Sheet number one has to do with the amount of oil. Is Rabbi Yosef? And the Tur adopts that position, but saying that's not quantity but purpose, telos, if you will, Choshesh Begrono, that's already the Baal HaLachas Gedola says it, the Maram of Rudberg says it, the Rambam says it, and Shulchan Aruch adopts that as well. Here, the Regilas of Kara in the Beis Yosef, on the side, the comment on the Torah, he's not happy with the fact that the Torah adopted Rabbi Yosef, and consistent with what he wrote in the Beis Yosef, when he wrote his independent freestanding Shulchan Aruch, he said the Paschal is like the Rov Rishonim. So that's a machlok is already in our Gemara, and it's getting us thinking in interesting ways. It opens up a question of Takak, how do you think about your current tafel? This is one example of what ought to be a much, much bigger question. For starters, the simplest way to phrase the question is, what matters more, quantity or quality? Now, clearly, it's not always the case that quantity wins, that rov wins. Cereal and milk, you make a mazonos on the cereal, or for that matter, a hadama, if it's a hadama cereal, even though there's oftentimes more volume of milk than cereal. There are a lot of examples of that. And you take a look at the Mishnah that our Gemara had referenced, that Mishnah that you saw, Memdalet Amud Aleph. This is a place where the Mishnayos are most explicit about Ikar and Tafel. This is where the Mishnah formulates the principle. Ze'a klal kol shu Ikar v'imo tfeila, tapa v'amdala v'alot, revarach al Ikar pojas ha-tfeila. What was the case there? They bring him a liach, they bring him something salty, and bread. So you make a bracha on the maliach, a shahako, ha'etz, whatever the maliach is, machlokas, or Rishon, Rambam says a dag maliach, Rashi seems to say it's salted fruit, whatever it is, you're having this powerful, the way Tosis and the Rambam understand, you're having this powerful salted item. You're having like salted fish or a salty pickle. So that's a memdala menalef. So, or let's say, to give a maybe a more familiar example, a guy has a jalapeno pepper, habanero pepper, going scotch peppers, whatever it is. They're a really powerful hot pepper. To survive, you then, some people just take it, if you're the Taimani in the falafel store, you're probably on the schug. Then they make jokes about Ashkenazim who are like, take a tenth of a teaspoon and they can't handle it. Right? Or hopefully you're maybe you're somewhere in between. At least if you're not Taimani, at least you're an Ashkenazi who has trained himself to appreciate maybe small doses of schug. But in the course of training, you took a little too much. So you have some bread. You have to take something. Water usually is counterproductive. The capsaicin gets oxidized when you drink water. But you have some milk, you have a piece of bread, and that'll ease the burn. So I had a hot pepper. I had some schug. Shalom. I had a hot pepper. I had some schug. And then I have a drink of milk or a piece of bread to soothe my tongue. What bracha do you make on that piece of bread? None. What bracha do you make on a drink of milk? None. Why? The Mishnah says, because the bread or the milk is tafel to the schug. It's tafel to the hot pepper. The bread is tafel to the maliach. So that's clearly not a question of quantity. This has nothing to do with quantity. This has to do with like a functional relationship. That one of them is servicing the other. This has a lot to do with purpose. It has nothing to do with how much? And going back to Eitan's point, so a good way of thinking about it. Here you have two guys side by side, and they're both eating a pizza. One of them makes a hamotzi, the other one makes nothing. Because one of them just had, the second one just had schog. So even though they're eating the same pizza, but the second fellow who had schog and now is having a pizza, makes no bracha because it's the same exact pizza for him is tafel to the schog. But someone else who just had, an apple, and now he's having a piece of pizza, he doesn't need the pizza to soothe his mouth after eating an apple, so he has to make a hamotzi on the pizza. So I think it was a good way of thinking about it. It's clear that Ikar and Tafel isn't always about what's the recipe. So they have to wonder, well, it probably is sometimes about what's the recipe. But that's presumably, that is what Rabbi Yosef and the tour were saying. So now we start thinking about two things. Number one, what's Yisod HaMachlokes between Rabbi Yosef and the other Rishonim? What are they arguing about? It can't be as so our first approximation, if you just looked at Lamed Vav, just look at Tos Ben Yehud, just look at the tour, you'd say, oh, Machloik is whether Iker and Tafel didn't cover it in Chafza. Gshmach, Shprach. Is it in the quantity of the item, or is it did in the what the Kavonas HaGavra? That's the first approximation, but obviously a lot more nuance. Kol Yamalo Pligi, that it's not always about quantity. That's a Beferish Mishnah. And we're going to go on to see other, the Msaras HaShas here already tells you that the second half of the mission appears Le'el Lam Hem Beis that we saw, and Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Also, one of the contexts in which the Gemara raises Iker and Tafel, and there it's not bread and Moliach, there it's you're having a sharp radish at Sinon, and to ease some of the burn, you then have an olive. This is a Mediterranean diet that we unfortunately are not all used to. We should be. But the olives are handy. Quick, have an olive to soothe your tongue because you had a sharp tzinnon. And there are, as I put in the Marmakobos, several in between Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph, and Mem Aleph, there are at least three other places the Gemara talks about Iker and Tafel. Those are sort of next level. Those are mostly in the context of where you're adding flour. So flour, once you're adding grain, chamesh is made dug, and the Gemara seems to say that chamesh is made dug and sort of operate uniquely in terms of Iker and Tafel. But the Gemara, even there, raises a question of, I have a recipe, and it has flour in it, and it has other ingredients. Is it mizonos? Or is it hadama? Is it mizonos? Or is it shahakaf? Is the honey the Iker, or is the flour the Iker? Is the honey the Iker, or the vegetables the Iker? So sometimes the Gemara does talk about how much did you put in. The Gemara Lamates, in the context of Tavshila de Silki, we would probably call it some type of vegetable kugel or vegetable casserole, some type of meichel that involves vegetables and flour. And the Gemara there does raise the possibility that maybe it matters, is there a lot of flour, it's a mizonos, not so much flour, it's a hadama, or maybe not. So there has to be something more driving it. And we need to thinking about the machlokas and lamavav in particular gets us thinking, b'chlal, how do we define Iker and Tafel? How do you define Iker and Tafel? What makes something Iker, what makes something a Tafel? And why is it the Mishnah here also opens up, the Rambam already says, the Tur says, the Rosh says, the Tur, in Reshit Beis, all say, by the way, the Mishnah has another Chiddush. Not only that it doesn't have to do with quantity, what other Chiddush does this Mishnah Mem Dala teach me about Iker and Tafel? That unlike the casserole, they don't even have to be Ma'urav. The Rambam says Beferish, and then the Tur quotes it from his father, the Rosh. It could be a Tafel HaMa'urav. I have a Kugel, I have to figure out what's the main ingredient, the egg or the potatoes. The potatoes are flour, but then there's also tafel she'ena ma'urav. I'm not eating the peppers on top of the pita. I mean them separately. A tafel doesn't always have to be together with the food. And let me leave you with a question to think about. What happened if the tafel came before the ikkah? What bracha would you make then? To be continued.